Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Vietnam has been one of the most compelling long-term structural growth stories in emerging markets. Joining us to navigate this investment opportunity is Craig Martin. He's chairman of Dynam Capital, the investment manager behind Vietnam Holding, a closed-end fund celebrating almost two decades of investing in the country. Craig, welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
Heard a lot about Vietnam.
Yes.
Family members who've been there recently say it's a very dynamic, wonderful place to be.
Yep.
Lots going on, but why should we invest there?
Well, look, I think there's at least two strong reasons. One is Vietnam is in your wardrobe. So everything is made in Vietnam. It's in your digital gadget box, all electronic goods made in Vietnam. It is a great tourist destination, as your kids found out, and wonderful sights and tremendous food and the people. But it's a large economy. It's 100 million people. It's been growing at 6.5% for the last 30 years. It's got the most liquid stock market in all of Southeast Asia. And you've got a people that are committed to hard work and doing better than the parents did. So you've got a lot of dynamic around growth. And you've got this growing consumer. And that means tremendous opportunities if you're like us, you're a stock picker. You're wanting to find good companies that can compound their earnings with high quality of earnings. Often you find that in the consumer goods companies. So it's very fertile ground. Trailing that and tacking onto that tremendous growth in the broader economy, just finding good opportunities to invest with a long-term mindset.
Well, let's pick up on that point, because the next question out of that almost certainly has to be, has the low-hanging fruit been found and picked? Or are you still seeing opportunities out there that present the same sort of growth potential that you've been witnessing over the last near decade?
Well, it's really interesting. So some of our top names in our portfolio today have been growing at 20, 25% per annum in terms of earnings per share growth. They've got 25% return on invested capital. And yet we can still buy them today at 10 times PE. So they're cheap as chips for a high quality, well-managed global franchise. Countrywide, nationwide franchise. And so we still see great opportunity in those existing names. We're also trying to find what are the next rising stars. And after quite a winter, there are a few companies coming to market through IPO. So we're kind of running the slide rule over those companies. But good businesses that we've been tracking for a long time are still good businesses, still high levels of growth. So no, there's plenty of opportunity, plenty of runway yet to come. And the government are pushing an agenda of even accelerated levels of economic growth for the next 5 or 10 years and trying to modernize the economy even more. So I'm sure there'll be even better and greater opportunities for us in the next 20 years.
Well, alongside all that's going on at the moment with the progress that the economy is making, are coming reforms as well within the market. And when we spoke before we went to camera on this, you were talking about the Doi Moi 2.0, second set of reforms.
Yes.
What opportunities is this going to bring about, and what are they trying to do? What are they trying to achieve?
Well, look, it's very ambitious. So the first set of reforms, perhaps in the mid-1980s, was to bring Vietnam in from the cold, to bring Vietnam into the international stage. Now their challenge is to beat the middle income trap. And so the government have an ambition that by 2045, Vietnam will be a middle to high income country, a much more developed economy. To get there, they need high levels of economic growth. Now, as I said, they've had 6.5% per annum for the last 30 years. That's not enough. They want to get to a double digit growth for at least some of the next 5 years. So they've got four pillars of their reform. One is around a big focus on science, technology, digital transformation, supported through education. So science, technology, engineering, and maths. The second one is to integrate Vietnam into the international arena. So it's continuing to be made in Vietnam, exporting to everyone, but also using diplomacy and soft culture and soft power to punch above its weight. Thirdly, would be around judicial legal reform to get rid of some of the bureaucracy and the red tape to speed up infrastructure development. And then the fourth, and perhaps the most interesting, is increasing the role of the private sector. Now, that's got a lot of people excited. domestically in Vietnam, and Vietnam's a country of stock investors, 12 million stock market investors in the country of 100 million people. And so they're seeing this as a new rapid level of growth for the private sector. So some of that might get above itself and time will tell, but it means that the government is really committed through this reform to escape that middle income trap and to see the wealth of the people rise and to see the economy as a whole become much more modern and much more industrialized.
I said at the top in the introduction that it was one of the best performing within the emerging market space, but technically speaking, of course, it's only just really coming up to that emerging market status, isn't it? And I know that Vietnam gets promoted in the FTSE emerging market status this September, which is going to be a seminal moment, I imagine, for someone like you looking at opportunities for your clients within the investment arena. What does it mean in practice for someone that holds VNH at the moment for fund?
Well, I think it's a very important road marker. It's not overnight. So Vietnam was shortlisted or waitlisted by FTSE Russell for 7 years. And it's only this September they get promoted, so to speak, from the frontier market to the emerging market proper. And then it's probably another 2-3 years before, say, MSCI does likewise. So we haven't seen any immediate big flood of capital. In fact, emerging markets outside of Taiwan and Korea have seen net outflows for the last year or so, either people chasing the Magnificent Seven in the US or TSMC or Hynix Semiconductors around that. So actually the role of the domestic investor is much more important in Vietnam than the foreign investors. But as you get into that emerging market category, you'll see participation from some of the passive funds that have to hold Vietnam as part of that emerging market mix. And so you will see flow, maybe $5 to $10 billion dollars coming in from those passive funds. But I think more importantly for Vietnam holding is, what does that do? It probably gives a re-rating to some of those companies. The market's cheap. It's on a 10 times forward price earnings ratio, yet delivers about 20% earnings per share growth. So it's one of the cheapest markets in Asia. So getting more visibility by being higher rated as an emerging market opportunity will reward investors. There should be a lift over time, a re-rating. But I think beyond that, it helps the country look at how to finance its economy going forward. And for that, the stock market is only one part of that. They're also looking at ways to get their sovereign debt to investment grade, they're one notch below. And if they could get an upgrade in their debt rating, then it means they can tap the debt markets to fund infrastructure projects. If you fund infrastructure projects, then there's new opportunities for schools, for shops, for healthcare. And that's great for the private sector companies that are in that business-to-business space. And for us as an investor and as a stock picker, we like to find those companies that are linkages in that business-to-business space, that are beneficiaries of the growth of domestic consumption and of the urbanization of the country. So for patient investors, if you're backing a team such as ours on the ground in Vietnam, looking at these companies, researching them well, engaging with them, challenging the management of those businesses to be better organized, more transparent, adopt better practices, then assuming that we can be right in our conviction and build that kind of concentrated portfolio, our investors should benefit over the medium to long term. So,
what about the short term? What about the global geopolitical headwinds? I'm thinking mainly about what's going on at the moment in the Middle East with specific regard to oil or the lack of it that we're told about in the market at the moment. This presumably has an impact.
For sure. I mean, we've got a lot of headwinds across Asia, and Vietnam can't escape those headwinds. It has some advantages. It's got a lot of its own domestically generated energy. It produces its own fertilizer, for example. But the longer the war in the Middle East goes on, I think there's a danger across Asia that high levels of inflation might get baked in. And so that's a challenge to be overcome. So year to date, I think Vietnam's been remarkably resilient. We haven't seen a lot of the restrictions that one might imagine and we've seen in other countries. But the longer the war goes on, I think it's harder to escape that. So for us, we're also looking at domestic opportunities. We're looking at businesses that maybe are less directly impacted. But it's hard to escape what's going on globally. I think the challenges for Vietnam are often external challenges. It's got a high growth engine, large opportunity in its domestic economy, but it is part of the global opportunity set. So it remains to be seen when peace prevails and we see perhaps a resettling of those supply chains. But Vietnam's very savvy. So when it's faced with a challenge, when it's faced with supply issues from the Gulf, it looks to China, it looks to Russia, it looks to other markets to diversify its risk. And is very good at what they call bamboo diplomacy.
Right.
Friend to everyone, yeah. Servant to none.
Yeah. Of course, the war in the Middle East is not the only global headwind at the moment. What else are you looking at over your shoulder in terms of what could tip things a little bit?
Well, I think this year, the scientists say it's going to be a very severe El Nino year towards the end of 2026. And that's going to affect a lot of countries that have agriculture as a key part of their economic heart. And although Vietnam is rapidly industrializing, it's a globally important exporter of coffee, of rice, of many other natural commodities. And so it is susceptible to change in temperature. It's good that it has its own fertilizer, but it means the prices will go up. It's got to look at water supply around that. 30% of its energy is from hydro. So you've got lower water levels, then there's some issues around that. You need to rely more on wind or solar or other forms of energy. So I think that's something many countries are looking at, the impact of El Nino, which also could have some inflationary impacts. So it's a bit of a perfect storm at the moment with the war in the Middle East and then coming into a pretty severe El Nino. But one thing in Vietnam's favor is the people are pragmatic, hardworking, determined, and resilient. So they won't let a challenge slow them down.
So as the manager of this fund through Dynam Capital, what are you looking at? Where's the keen money going in your portfolio?
So we like the domestic story. Mm-hmm. We like some of the retail companies that I mentioned earlier that have been compounding their earnings for a decade or more, and yet are trading at very cheap, attractive levels of valuation. So we're actually loading up on some of those a little bit more. We are a stock picker. We're conviction-led. We don't hug the index. And normally we can outperform the index. This year we haven't, I'll be honest. We are underperforming the index, but we're not worried by that because we know we've got these tremendous companies in our portfolio that are undervalued with high quality earnings. And over the mid to long term, we think they will deliver tremendous returns. So we don't want to be the index. We want to be very selective in the companies that we choose to work with and invest alongside and stick to a high conviction growth, but at a reasonable valuation kind of strategy.
What's your year go from beginning of January to end of December?
Yeah, January to 31st.
Is it December. Normally backloaded?
Yes. Normally it's is a game of two halves. So normally the second half of the year is stronger than the first. And that's what we anticipated actually for this year before the war in the Middle East started. So I think the war in the Middle East has kind of taken a lot of the wind out of the economy globally's sails. But I think the second half of this year, we'll see some of that strong earnings growth continue to come through in our portfolio companies. So yes, second half of the year should be a much stronger half than the first half.
Of course, part of this annual cycle, the way the fund moves in terms of its valuations, I noticed that you're trading at a discount to NAV, and you've, I believe, got an annual redemption at NAV facility.
Yes.
Explain how this works.
Well, it was quite innovative. We were the first fund focused on Vietnam to put this into place, which means once a year, investors can trade their shares at NAV. So any day you've got the stock market, most closed-end funds do trade at a discount to net asset value for much of the time with a narrowest discount of any of the of our peers. But we felt it was only right to also give investors the opportunity once a year to exit at NAV if they choose to do so. So it's part of the discount control measures that the board have put in place alongside us, the manager. So we respect our investors. We want them to obviously be in for the long term, but if their circumstances change, we think it's only fair that there's an opportunity that on a regular basis, they know they can exit if they need to. Mm.
Just want to wrap it up, but sort of bring it together to some degree and talk a little bit about what's in you're offering for those that are already in Vietnam through some Pan-Asia holding with other businesses? Why specifically Vietnam? What would you say to bring those people in to own V&H?
Well, so V&H, Vietnam Holding, is a pure play Vietnam opportunity. If you're invested Pan-Asia, you're in the patchwork court around that. So you're in Indonesia, you're in the Philippines, you're in Thailand and what have you. Now, at times those markets have great opportunities, but Vietnam's been consistently at the highest level of GDP growth within ASEAN. It's got the most liquid stock market within ASEAN or in Southeast Asia. And it's got this high growth across this dual strategy of domestic economy and economic growth, as well as manufacturing for export. So I think it's uniquely placed within Southeast Asia. So if you're invested in a Pan-Asian fund, you may only have a little bit in Vietnam. Whereas if you're a little bit more innovative in your thinking, you might say, no, I like the Vietnam story. Maybe you've visited or your children have visited the country and you think this is a great way to express my excitement about that level of economic growth. So for us and for our investors, it's a pure play on Vietnam. We're not ashamed to say that. We think it's got a lot of the characteristics of the North Asian growth, say China of 20, 30 years ago, and yet with a rapidly emerging consumer class within its society. So a lot of opportunity, a lot of great companies to choose from. With Vietnam Holding, you're trusting us to make the best selection, maybe 25 companies in the portfolio that we've researched actively, we're on top of, we're in close engagement with as well. And we've got a very high bar on corporate governance. So we're trying to make sure the companies we select are the best in class and give reassurance to our investors in the UK that their money is well invested. And then through the redemption facility, give people the opportunity, if they need to, they can redeem in and out of the fund.
Well, a very upbeat comment to end on.
Well, but, thank you.
Craig, thank you so much indeed.
Real pleasure.
For joining us. It's been a pleasure for us as well.
Yeah.
That was Craig Martin, chairman of Dynam Capital, the investment manager of Vietnam Holding.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.